For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So we come around the precious Word of God, and we know that through God's Word He speaks to us. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you use me to speak your word faithfully and that every one of us here would be blessed in the hearing of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So this evening we're looking at rest in the Lord and cease from your own works. Rest in the Lord and cease from your own works. There are many people who are thinking that they're doing work for the Lord, but they're doing it in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And so when it goes through the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be something like wood, hay and stubble type works rather than gold, silver and precious stone type works. We must get the Lord involved in what we are doing on the earth today. Let's have a look first of all at Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. You know, the fact is that you may do something that could influence someone and perhaps even a few years down the track get them converted to Christ. And then they could go on to influence others, many others. And who knows, you may impact future generations. You don't know, but the Lord knows. So what we must do is align what we do on the earth today with what the Lord is doing. And notice what it says in verse 1 here. Very important scripture for us to take hold of. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, we see here that unless it's the Lord building the house and you're involved in that building, you're labouring in vain. You're labouring in vain. And we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we are labourers together with God. So we want to get on board with His plan and His ways. And we're going to learn tonight what resting in the Lord and ceasing from your own works is about. It's about getting on board with what His will is for you to do. Not your own plans, not your own thinking. You see, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that built it, that build it. So have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We need to see that when we are born again, we are not to be people that do nothing on the earth. We need to see that as new creatures in Christ, we now have a purpose in God. And we see a very important phrase used in these verses that we're going to be looking at in Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start from verse 8 and go to verse 10. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. So notice what it says here in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let's pause there for a minute. We see that we cannot work for our own salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has done that work by dying and going to the cross, dying for us, being buried, descending into hell, suffering for us, and being raised from the dead and presenting his blood to the Lord as the perfect blood payment for us. He has paid thoroughly, and it is the gift of God. So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We do not work our way to heaven. Once we are saved, God has a purpose for us. And now look in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Notice what it says in this next part, very important phrase. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we can see here that we are new creatures in Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there are things that God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to do nothing now that we're Christians. He wants us, as it says there, good works which God hath before ordained. That means his divine plan is for you that we should walk in them. We should walk in those good works that have come from the Lord. He's revealed to us by his Spirit what we are to do. So think about it. If people are doing things in the flesh, and that goes through the judgment seat of Christ, it might look big in some people's eyes, but unless it has eternal value, it can be burnt up and they can be left with perhaps a stick or two. So we see that we need to be on board with what does God want us to do. The good works that God wants us to do. Let me just emphasize here, we're not saved by good works, but we are created unto good works. And we have to understand that. If you also look at Hebrews 3, we're going to start now seeing what it means to rest in the Lord and to cease from your own works. Because if you're only doing your own works, remember what we read right at the beginning, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. You don't want to be labouring in vain. You want to be doing what God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 3, let's start from verse 6 and we'll go down to verse 13. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? So notice, we are Christ's house. He's a son over his own house. Whose house are we? And we've got to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. God has a wonderful end for us all. And you want to come before the Lord and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So what are you? You're a servant of the Lord. You're a servant of God. Okay, you're not serving yourself, or you shouldn't be. Verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice." So what's important? You hear the voice of the Spirit of God. What's the Holy Ghost also called? The Spirit of truth, and he guides us into all truth. So we must be people that today, not put it off, today, if ye will hear his voice. Verse 8, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Okay, so what were they doing? They weren't believing God, were they? They were hardening their hearts. So the first step for you to know what works God wants you to do, what he wants you to do on the earth, is to hear his voice. If ye will, it's an act of the will for you to hear his voice. So you say, "Lord, I choose to hear your voice. I want to hear from you, Lord, and I seek you." You seek him in prayer, you seek him through the word. Harden not your heart. Okay? You humble yourself before the Lord and say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their, where? Heart, in the inner man. These people are in error. They do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. That should not be us. We should not be erring in our heart by not knowing God's ways, by not listening to Him, by hardening our hearts. We don't want to be people like that at all. Okay? Now, people that are like that, notice what happens to them in verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That should start to give you an idea of what it means to enter into the rest of God. Enter into the rest of God is to hear what God is saying by His Spirit. Not hardening your heart. Not erring in your heart. But starting to know God's ways, believing God, and we'll see that more in Hebrews 4, believing what God says and doing it. Doing as in walking in those good works that God wants you to do. Now, look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So you can see that having an evil heart of unbelief, unbelief is spiritual poison to the faith Christian, an evil heart of unbelief will cause you to depart from the living God. It will cause you not to enter into God's rest. When you enter in, think about the word rest. Rest is a refreshing. You're not disturbed if you're having proper rest. You think about that. It's peaceful. There's no turmoil within you. You want to enter into God's rest. But there is a warning here, isn't there? Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, the devil's backing that, isn't he? He wants you to be deceived by sin. He wants you to look at that wonderful, you know, thing, and you think, whoa, I really want that. But is it God's will? Okay? And here we see, here's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, whilst you can. That's why you need fellowship. You need your brothers and sisters. You need the brethren. So that they can help you. So that you're not hardened, but are open to hearing the Spirit of God. Let's have a look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, starting from verse 1. So the topic tonight is rest in the Lord and cease from your own works. How can we do that? Well, it explains it more in Hebrews 4, starting with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, and it's just talking about the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is defined in Proverbs chapter 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, so it's an attitude of the heart. Let us therefore fear, we're not talking about the fear of man or the fear of evil, okay? But we do have to have the fear of the Lord, which is to honour God above all things and to hate evil. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached, preaching is very important, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there are people who can sit under the preaching of the word and not profit from it at all. But does God want us to profit from it? Yes, he does. He wants you to grow in faith. He wants you to get on board with understanding why you're on the earth. As we know in the book of James, life is a vapor. It's a very short period of time. God wants you to get on board with what he wants for your life. He has a plan. He said that those good works, he's ordained for you to walk in them. But you have to have, as we read before in Hebrews 3, you have to have a willingness to hear when the Spirit of God is speaking, to hear him and to not harden your heart. So when the word preached comes to you, you're mixing it with faith. Yes, I believe that, Lord. I receive that, Lord. I'm not going to resist that, Lord. I take that into my heart. That will profit you. That will profit you. That will help you. That will get you on board. That will bless you. That will bring blessing into your life more and more. And notice what it says here in verse 3. For we which have what? Believed. So we saw unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief causes people to depart from the living God. Here it says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. You're settled within you. You know where you are in the Lord. You know what he wants you to do. There's a settling within you. You're entering into his rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, how? What does it say here? Because of unbelief. They did not enter into the rest because of unbelief. You see, the Lord had promised the children of Israel, go in, take over the land of Canaan, it's yours. All you have to do is go forward in belief. What'd they do? The giants, they're too big. If you're looking at the Lord, is the Lord bigger than a giant? Indeed. Indeed he is. So they should not have allowed an evil heart of unbelief to get hold of them. But they did. And they did not enter into God's rest. They did not enter into the promise of God, as we saw right in verse 1. They did not enter into that because of unbelief. Unbelief, as I said before, unbelief to the faith Christian, that is, the Christian walking by faith and not by sight, unbelief is spiritual poison. Spiritual poison. Verse 7. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will, it's an act of your will, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. If you will hear his voice. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God wants you to rest in him, cease from your own works, which we'll read in this next verse, to cease from your own works and to be settled within yourself in belief, I know the direction God's taking me. I know that I'm led by the Spirit of God. So you see, in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now notice, we read before in Ephesians 2 that God wants us, and he's created us unto good works. He wants us to walk in those good works, but they have to be according to, as we read in Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. It has to be according to God's building plan. According to God's building plan. So notice verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, into God's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So if you're ceased from your own works, you're going to say, I'm not going to go my own way. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And notice what it says in verse 11. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. Now, the labour to enter into God's rest is this, that you know the word. You put diligence into knowing the word and you get the word into your heart in a believing, prayerful way. You know the word, and so you're putting the effort into understanding, as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So you're not just, oh, whatever will be, will be. No, no, no. You know God has called you. You know God has things for you to do on the earth. He has said that there is a way for you. He has shown you the way. And now we have to come to a rest in the Lord where we're ceasing from our own works. You know, there's many, as I said before, there's many works which are in the flesh and in pride and according to people's own ways of thinking. We want to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit. We want to know what God has to say about things. Praise the Lord. And then he links it in verse 12 here, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to get your thoughts and intents of the heart lining up with the word of God. Lining up with the word of God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look in the book of Titus. I just want to go through a few verses in the book of Titus. And we'll start off with Titus 1, verses 15 and 16. Titus 1, 15 and 16. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Titus 1, 15 and 16. So what you'll see here is there are people doing works, but they're doing it in an unbelieving way. And in God's eyes, it amounts to nothing. It'll be burnt up. Verse 15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure. Are we pure? We have a pure spirit that's come from the Spirit of God. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. There's that word unbelieving or unbelief. It defiles. It pushes out purity. It pushes out purity of motive, purity of intent, purity of thinking. And as it says there, the end of verse 15, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16, this is a scary verse, really, when you think about it. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate, means out of the will of God. So you want to be resting in the Lord and ceasing from your own works. You don't want to be building your own empire. You don't want to be doing things out of the will of God. I could go through many examples, but let me just say this. You seek the Lord personally, get before him, labour to enter into his rest. You seek the Lord and make sure that you're doing things out of a pure heart, with a pure motive, and in accordance to the word of God. Let's also look at Titus 2, verse 7. And here we see a linking of good works in the Lord to the way we believe. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So God wants you to show yourself a pattern of good works. Think of that word, pattern. Pattern in your life. It is outworked. When people see your life, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. Other scriptures talk about us being conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good conformity. What's a bad conformity? Conformity to the world, isn't it? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you can have doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Where does your doctrine come from? The word of God, the truth of God's word. Praise the Lord. Also look at verses 13 to 15 in this particular chapter. Titus chapter 2, 13 to 15, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar means stand out. Stand out. You will be noticed. You will be noticed because you won't be conforming to the world. You will be patterning yourself after, as we said, the image of Christ. You'll be Christ-like. So you won't be blaspheming. You won't be joining in with the sin. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. And you'll be a witness. You'll be light. Light in the darkness. Salt in the earth. God can use you. God can use you. In verse 15 he says, these things speak and rebuke, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So he's talking to Titus here. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous, zealous. That's a hard attitude, isn't it? Zealous to do what God wants. You're resting in the Lord and ceasing from your own works and wanting to find out and knowing, or resting in what you know God wants you to do on the earth. Praise the Lord. Just a few more short scriptures. Titus 3 verse 8. Titus 3 verse 8. Let's look at that. And then we'll look at verses 13 and 14. verses 13 and 14. Verse 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have," what's that word? Believed in God, might be careful to maintain good works. Are you getting the idea that Titus has quite a lot to say about good works in the Lord? He does. I encourage you to read the whole of the book of Titus. "That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, these things are good and profitable unto men." Praise the Lord. Look at verses 13 and 14 and we'll finish with this. "Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works." There's that maintain good works. Keep it up. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Even if there's opposition, even if there's trouble, even if the devil tries to give you other thoughts and other directions, you say, "No, I know what the Lord has said." That's why you've got to be a person of the Word. You need to know the Word of God. Let us also learn, we must learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. God wants us fruitful. Now, as I said before, if you're doing what God wants, not based on sight, if you're doing what God wants, who knows how you could influence? You don't know. The Lord, on His, He knows. He knows everything. We must have a pure, honest heart before the Lord and bow our knee before Him and say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have called us. And Father, I pray that every person here and those that hear this sermon, Lord, would seek you to know that as new creatures in Christ, we have a purpose on the earth. Show us, Lord, show us by your Spirit what you want us to do in this vapor of a life. Show us, Lord, that we be not people just floundering around, but we are doing according to your will and by your Spirit what you want us to do. I ask for a clarity in every person here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is very good. He's very merciful. His word is wonderful. Praise the Lord.